You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is DB2Bets brought to you by BetStamp, where we use that BetStamp app to find the best odds available across all the different sports books. And these are our picks for Friday, June the 24th, the first time that we are ever doing our show for Friday. We made a collective decision that, you know, Thursday is it's a good day for sports. It generally is. But then, you know, Friday games, we just want to be able to get that action in for the weekend. So we're going to stick now from moving on forward on Fridays. This is our picks for June 24th. I'm your co-host, Josh Elijah. To my left this time in the flesh, Mikey Fulmer. Mikey, how you doing, buddy?
What's up, boys?
Buddy, it's...
I'm on your left today. I'm a little tripped out.
Yeah, you're on the left. You're on the left. We're doing this live in person here. It's been a couple weeks since we've had you on the show. We took a bit of a hiatus to kind of regroup things over the last week. It's good to be back in action here.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Down in Windsor, it's in Nashville. Had to let you boys spread your wings for a few weeks. And
that's a little
matter, though.
Nasty Nashville. How was that?
Gong show. I don't remember, but it was great. Took me for everything.
Quite a
glad time. To be back in my fucking humble abode here with the family and operating like a normal civilized human again.
Yeah, exactly. Oh man, I totally get that. Get the sweats out of you, back to reality over here.
As I sip my
as we take a sip of a delicious yup in your gut. And then obviously we have our boy up in the corner there, Birdman. Couldn't do without you. How you doing, buddy?
Good. How's it going, fellas?
Oh man, it's just good to be back. Good to be back on this grind. And I gotta say, very stoked to have this guy on the show. Figuring that when we reformatted and moved this over to the Friday, that we had to get one of BetStamp's own onto the show. So we have Zach Phillips from BetStamp. Zach, buddy, thank you so much for jumping on the show. How you doing?
I'm doing good, guys. Thanks for having me. Pretty excited to be here. I know, like, once we added you to the BetStamp program, we've seen all the picks come through. Josh and I have been looking at all the videos, editing stuff that goes out. So looking at all the picks, seeing it going up on our socials. So pretty excited to be able to do this.
Oh, buddy. I mean, we couldn't do it without you guys. And like, man, I just feel like it's, you know, a couple months in now, and this partnership has been nothing short of spectacular. So it's been great. And honestly, we've been making a couple bucks. I feel like we've had a couple really fucking trash weeks. But hey, that's gambling.
That's the nature of the beast.
Yeah. And you know, especially like when we do use line shopping and we use, you know, BetStamp app, that we're actually getting the most return for our money here. So again, for all the listeners, for anyone that you know, tunes in, week out, you know the drill. You go to betstamp.app/Ontario and use that promo code DB2 to get access to all of those sports books and all the different sign-up bonuses that are available. And make sure that you use that BetStamp app to be able to do all the line shopping and get the most bang for your buck. And if you're out of the province, obviously, just go over to your account and add that referral code DB2. Now, Zach, I would love to hear a little bit more background on you, and how, like, maybe like even just like how you got into the whole BetStamp world, and I guess maybe where you started when it came to sports gambling.
I grew up playing sports. I played high level hockey and lacrosse. Didn't really pan out. Ended up going to I went to Western University. Ended up there. Yeah. All so right. I was there doing the BMOS program. And then about partway through my third year, I was kind of like, I don't really want to specialize in any of this stuff. I don't really know if I want to be in exactly consumer behavior or anything. So I just went to the academic counselor. I was like, all right, what can I do if I don't want to do this? And she basically was like, all right, well, we have this program. Nobody really does it, but you can call it a cross-disciplinary. You major in business, but you take whatever else you want. So I just started taking graphic design, some video editing stuff, learning how to build websites. There's some stuff I had interest in before, but it wasn't really anything that I knew too much about. And then started doing that, graduated, and I graduated during the beginning of COVID. That was my graduation year out of university. And I was like, all right, well, I don't know what I'm going to do already. And now nobody's hiring. People are actually firing people. Like, there's not any jobs out there.
Everyone's furloughed, laid off. Man, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, all right, well, I'll figure this out. I went and started landscaping. It was a summer job that I was doing like between years at university. Started doing that again. And then I was just like, I don't really know what I want to do or where I'm going to go with this. But I had some things I enjoyed. I enjoyed sports. I made my own podcast at that point and just said, all right, I'm going to go all in on this. And then the more I started grinding on my own podcast, it led me to an opportunity to start the Leafs Digest YouTube show. Started that. And then I had both podcasts going at the same time. And I was just grinding away on both. And then I saw an opportunity with BetStamp. They were hiring a student intern for a graphic design position. I had no like professional experience or anything, but I just said, all right, I'm going to try. They'll see that I'm not a student when I apply. We'll see what happens. The guy got back to me within like a day or two and he said, yeah, we want to interview you. I said, okay, cool. Got in the interview. I said, by the way, I'm not a student. He said, yeah, no worries. We know that. And then that's kind of how I started with BetStamp. So I just kind of took a shot at it. I had built up all the other things using my own YouTube and producing podcasts and all that kind of stuff. And then it just led me to be in the position of doing something I actually enjoy, really enjoy doing every day. But as far as the betting, it's as simple as this. The day that I became legal to bet, I made a Bet365 account and that's where I started. Like that was just it. I became legal and I made an account.
Absolutely. I guess we're a couple of years older than you, but when I first started finding out about like, this is the option you can actually, because up until that point, my idea of sports betting was like, I needed to find some greasy bookie somewhere in Woodbridge, like some fucking greasy dude, slick back hair and a wife beater that would take my bets. And I've done that before.
I was going to say, that's kind of how. For me.
Yeah.
Well, so you guys have actually done that? Like,
we're aging ourselves, but that's exactly how it started.
There was not a lot of options back in the day.
I will say, in my first year at university, I got a message one day out of the blue from a kid I went to high school with, from Woodbridge kid, and he DM'd me and he's like, "Hey man, you know a lot about sports. Do you want to be a bookie?" And I was like, "Ah, no, hell no."
Well, that's great. I mean, like we can definitely relate to that too, especially starting up this podcast in the middle of the pandemic, really. I mean, that's how this really all started. I mean, for me, like doing stand-up, it was not a thing at all throughout the pandemic for obvious reasons. And I just needed some sort of creative outlet. And then that's when, I ended up chatting with you and chatting with Jesse and we put our minds together and started up with this podcast. And it was always that option to be able to go and do sports bets. And we talked about sports betting on our show often enough, but a lot of the times, as you know, there's a lot of stuff that goes into editing an episode and making sure that it's top quality. So to be able to, pump out episodes and have our takes on different bets, it really just didn't make sense for us to talk about it on the regular show. So that's when we decided to like start our own little betting show. And then the timing just ended up being perfect with BetStamp as well. So definitely very appreciative of the opportunity. And it's great that we are now here, chopping it up and talking about our picks and whatnot, which is great. And I know our audience is always listening to me preach about line shopping, but can you give us any of your sort of tips about, when it comes to your style of betting and talk a little bit more about line shopping if you can?
So line shopping is something, and I know you guys have been preaching it, but it genuinely is the easiest way to win more money and lose less money every time you're placing bets. And like, I've had different examples of it with some of my friends, because I didn't really understand until I started. And then I was seeing these guys and they're like, hey, open these accounts, started doing that, going through the using our site, using our app. And I was like, well, the easiest way is, hey, you want to place a bet on a team that's plus 100 and you're going to put $10 on it. You're going to make $10 back. But then you go and find another one that's plus 120. You're literally just making $2 more by betting on the exact same thing and betting the exact same amount. And then once they started kind of explaining that, and obviously as your unit size goes up, like you start betting into the 50s, 100s, to like whatever, it's just multiplies how much more you're actually making each time. And I was like, why would I miss out on easy money that I could be making when I could just sign up at another book, put $20 in there, and then I want to bet $2, $5 at a time. Like, I'm going to make more money each time. Yeah. So when I started doing it, that was quickly how I started building up a lot more bankroll. And like, my bankroll is kind of collectively across all the different books is what I consider, like, how much do I have at once across all of them? Then obviously looking down into each, but it's just like, I started winning more money little bit by little bit. And genuinely, when I started betting at BetStamp, I was betting $2 at a time. Like, now I'm betting $10, but it's just kind of like what I'm comfortable with doing on a nightly basis. And I'm playing as many games, so I'm betting a lot more, but it's just like, I was able to grow to a point where I can comfortably bet $10 at a time just because I built up little bit by little bit. So the line shopping aspect, the other thing that I will say too with the line shopping is that if you look across different books, a lot of times you can start to figure out if something is actually going to be a good bet. And like, one thing you can look at is there's different books on here that are considered sharp books. And if you know what they are, or you like figure out Pinnacles, Low Vig, those ones, those are kind of like what the numbers should be, fair value. And if the book that you're going to bet at has a worse line than that, a lot of times it's not going to be the best bet. So you can stay away from certain things like that. Or if it's significantly better than those books, then you can find ways to be like, okay, yes, this is a doable bet for me, or I want to do this. Like, even if it's just a game that you do want to bet on, you're not just looking to go and make money that night, but it's like, hey, I want to bet on the Leafs. They're plus 160 tonight. Pinnacle has them plus 120. Yeah, there's good value there. I can find something like that. So you can start to figure out just by looking at books that you want to bet on compared to other books where value is.
Right. Exactly. And what would you say to, you know, a lot of my friends as well, and just people that I know that might be a little bit hesitant to have all these multiple books. Like, they had their Bet365 that they've had since they started sports betting. And, you know, just opening up another book might be, you know, just too much of a daunting task. Is there any sort of advice that you can give to people that might think that way?
Yeah, just start small. Like, it doesn't have to be tomorrow morning you wake up and open up 10 books. But if you have only Bet365 today, maybe when you hear this podcast, open up Betway and then start with the two, and then you'll see there's differences in the lines in the two. And then, okay, now you can kind of figure some stuff out from the two. And now maybe you're in a position to open up a third. You don't have to go crazy and open up all 10 right away, but open up more than one is really what I would say the starting point is. It doesn't have to be a crazy number. Just open up more than one and then see where it goes. And you don't have to put in a ridiculous amount into each one either. Like, put $20 into your Betway account and start there.
Yeah. That's what I noticed too when we were getting set up. Like, you have $50 and say Bet365, best spot is, let's say, what is it? Bet99.
Yeah.
You know what? If you're really that stressed about it, pull 20 out, put it back into the checking account, and then set up the account with the new one. Plus, you're going to get fucking some sort of bonus.
Exactly.
And all it takes is a 3-second click and you're set. If you're worried about having to take more money and adding more money to your betting on, just take it out of the other one. Take $10, $15, whatever it is, because you're going to get a bonus on it and you're going to get a better line. It's as easy as that, right? So, I mean, at first I was a little kind of like, but do I really want all these open? But like, just move it a little bit of money around and you get the bonus and you get the better line. So it's simple. I mean, you go out of your way to get cheap gas. Like, it's fucking, you can, opening up another.
Go out of your way to get better odds as well.
Yeah.
But I'm a cheap fuck, so
yeah.
It's funny. Like you go to the for cheap gas and then actually spend more on the cheap gas for driving out there. But yeah.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, again, great to have you on the show here. Let's jump right into it then. We have our picks here. Moving forward, we're going to be doing our picks on Fridays. So recording Thursday nights and setting them up for Fridays. I think it also gives us opportunities for any other games that are happening on Saturday as well. Hopefully get into some UFC fights as well. While the odds are going to be available for us on Thursday nights. So really looking forward to now launching this on Fridays. But here are our picks now for Friday, June 24th. And man, we couldn't have had better timing because this will be our final opportunity to bet on the Stanley Cup Finals. Wednesday night, I guess the Colorado Avalanche ended up coming from behind, taking Tampa Bay. So now you have picks here for Game 5. Let's start with who you got on the money line.
Okay, first one I'm going to go with is Tampa Bay on the money line. They're right now, I'm finding them at plus 160 at bet365. I'm pretty comfortable with that. I know that they're going into Colorado, and full transparency here, I think Colorado will win this series. I think they will close it out, whether it goes to 6 or 7 at this point. My only hope really, or my thought was for Tampa to win this one. They would have had to tie it 2-2. I just don't think they can win 3 of the next 4 against Colorado. But that being said, going into Colorado tomorrow night, or I guess tonight when this comes out, there's going to be a lot of different things for me where I think Tampa Bay has been a very, very hard out over the last 2 going into this one, 3 playoffs. They obviously won the last 2 Stanley Cups, but even when they've been in positions where they're in elimination games, facing elimination, every single guy on their team, and especially their goaltender, has stepped up and elevated his game. And then I look at that, how they've performed traditionally over the last little while. And then I add in the fact that they lost the way that they did in that last game in Game 4 with the overtime too many men. I'm not really sure what you guys' position on it is, but I know that Tampa Bay was really pissed off. I know John Cooper was extremely pissed off. And I think it's just like a little bit of fire into them where they're like, hey, we got robbed, and it's maybe they don't win this series, but at least push it another one. That's kind of where I'm coming at it from. And I think at plus 160, I like that number. I'm pretty happy with it, even though it is on the road. I think Tampa Bay will get one. They haven't won in Colorado on this series yet, and it's time for one.
They do.
Yeah.
I like that too. I can't make a decision on this bet, which way to go. So if you're getting 160, you're going that way, right? If it's a coin flip, you take the line. So,
yeah, I was, first of all, about the too many men on ice, it is unfortunate that was the ref's bad. Unfortunately, that's not a revealable play. I've seen some highlights that apparently, like, Tampa, didn't they have something like 7 people on the ice?
I was gonna say, dude, I think it happens all the time. Like,
am I wrong to say that happens every shift of the game? The people that aren't involved in the play are kind of just fading on and off the ice. I mean,
yeah,
that'd be such a ticky-tacky call to make in a fucking Stanley Cup game.
Overtime? Yeah.
And it gets reviewed because a guy's 4 seconds away fucking half-skating to the bench? Fuck off.
No, he was right at the boards too and not even a part of the play.
The argument though that I saw after, because I saw that same thing and I agree with you guys on that, like where he was when that happened, like whatever, that's irrelevant. The argument that I saw though was that Kadri came off while MacKinnon was past like the 5 feet that you're allowed for the change. Okay. And then it took him 5 seconds to get to the boards. And in that time, Kadri went and got the puck. Made a play on the puck. That was the argument that I saw. Because at the time that the goal is scored, like, it's beyond irrelevant where he is. But it was that he's the guy who changed for MacKinnon coming off when that
got happened. Into the play while he's fucking halfway. Yeah, he's almost
halfway. Yeah.
Do you think that's something that they're going to actually make reviewable after this?
Oh, God, I hope not. No, I hope not. If they make that reviewable, man, think the reason that they made the offside challenge reviewable was because Matt Duchene was egregiously like 10 feet offside on a breakaway, and somehow nobody sees it. And now we're challenging to see if a guy's foot is a hair over the line, and it takes 5 minutes. It's like, if you're going to add this for the two men,
where are you going to draw the line on shift?
Yeah.
Can't be managed.
No.
Yeah. Just gets ridiculous. But the only thing adding on to the too many men that was hilarious, I don't know if you guys saw this, on the official stats after the game or when the goal was recorded, they gave six players on Colorado a plus, as though there were six guys on the ice.
It showed up on the score sheet. I saw that.
I did see that.
That looks pretty bad.
Yeah, it's not a good look.
That's a bad bounce.
Don't add up.
No. Well, that being said, I mean, I 100% agree with you. I think they're going to come out guns a-blazing. They're pissed off. They got something to prove, and they're down 3-1 in this series. I agree. I can definitely see them winning the next two. Like, if they win in Colorado and then they win in Tampa, going back to Colorado, but then Colorado finishing it in 7. I mean, I hope that's what happens, because I just want as much hockey as possible. So, but that being said, though, and Bert and I talk about this often when we talk about Vasilevsky, is that you don't really see him go back-to-back losses, which, you know, is the first time that we saw it in this series when they went down 2-0 in Colorado. Do you think that was just a blip, and then he comes back and then now he has to have like the performance of his life, really? You foresee that potentially being like a thing where he actually now loses back-to-back games, or?
Well, I'm hoping not, because I'm going to be betting on Tampa tomorrow. But like, as far as it goes, he is human, and throughout this playoffs, more than ever, it's kind of been shown that he is a little bit. He allowed 7 goals in that game. They got shut out 7-0 in game 2. Back to the Rangers series, he let in 5 or more multiple times. Back to the Leafs series, he let in 5 or more. It was shown that he was human. But it is the Stanley Cup Finals, and you're facing elimination. I think that this is a different Andre Vasilevsky coming into this one. I think he just turns it on to a different level when he gets in these positions. I don't think he loses back to back in this one. I think he turns it. He comes out and is just a monster tomorrow.
I should have rephrased this, because we were talking. The reason why I asked that is because we're talking about the over under for Vasilevsky's total saves. And it is not something that we're going to end up touching, but we were discussing it beforehand and having him at 33.5, and Bet365 has him at -125 for over 33.5 saves. And what were the stats you were telling me before, that there are he's made 30 or more saves in each game?
No, the Colorado Avalanche have had 30 or more shots in every game. The only game that he kind of really got shelled on, I think he dropped below 28 saves, was the game that they lost 7-0. He made 23 on 30 shots. But there's kind of a multitude of things here. As you said, he's going to have probably one of, if not the performance of his life, going in there to win this game. And then the other thing is that Colorado at home, they're going to be juiced up, and they're going to want to close out this series. So I foresee them coming out firing, and kind of combining those things with Colorado's going to be amped up. They're going to want to close this out. Vasilevsky's going to have to be a monster. He's going to have to be what he's been for the last two playoff years.
Yeah.
I think that it's going to be one of those ones where it could get up there potentially like 35, 36 shots against. And I don't really see him letting in more than 2 in tomorrow's game. I kind of think he's going to just shut it down completely.
Yeah.
I am a little cautious of the line at 33.5, the over. It is sitting at -125. I think it's a little expensive where it's at. It hasn't been a complete just firing of pucks at him yet, but I do think that it's going to be kind of coming towards that situation where he might just play the game of his life.
Yeah. I mean, that's something, it was interesting, but at the end of the day, 33.5, that is just, it's tough to take either the over or the under on it. I don't know how I feel about it. But it is interesting if you do want to play.
It's hard,
way.
Right? Yeah. Any which way the game goes, like if Colorado goes up, that means he's letting in a few, then they might get a little bit more offensive and that number drops.
Yeah.
But if you like the Bolts winning, you got to like him making a bunch of saves and you like got to like the Avs pressing throughout the game. So yeah, you want to go over there. But you're also going to pay a bit of a premium if they're at 125.
Yeah.
So that's
not good. Yeah.
So
it's tough. It's tough. And the reason why I bring it up is that if you did want to parlay that with Bet365, so if you go Bolts money line and then parlay an over 33.5, option, it's an option. Yeah. Not one that we're going to recommend or take. I think we're just going to stick with that Bolts money line plus 160 at Bet365.
I do have another player prop here. I do have another player prop here for you guys, by the way, as well. Tomorrow on Bet99, as part of Bet Stamp, we will have a Nathan McKinnon anytime goal score boosted or bumped. So if you guys are looking for that, make sure you use your DB2 codes to go sign up for Bet99 if you haven't already. And then you can go and hit that McKinnon anytime goal score.
Do you have that boosted odd for us here tonight, right now, or is that something?
No, that'll be something that comes out in the morning. Usually what happens is we get those lines across all the markets, determine with them where we're at, and then we find a line that we're all happy with, but won't have that until tomorrow morning.
So for everyone listening to this tomorrow morning as well, make sure that, you know, when you're done listening to this episode, go check out Bet99 and see those boosted odds, because, man, I fucking love him. Absolutely. Definitely going to hammer that. Please do. All right. Moving on to a little bit of baseball. We're going to talk here about our beloved Jays as they go into their weekend series. Tell us about your pick there, Zach.
So I'm going to take Jays money line in this one. I'm finding it right now. The best line in the regulated market is DraftKings minus 145. It's not as important in baseball as it is in some of the other sports, but Milwaukee is coming off a back-to-back. They did play today, and the Jays, they have had a rest day today. Their bats have been pretty hot. They've been scoring a lot of runs in the last couple of games, and then I'm looking at them. They have a nice rest day, and you're going into Milwaukee with Alek Manoah on the mound. Him and the rest of the relievers, the closers, they all get some time off, rest those arms. I think the Jays come out tomorrow. They've looked pretty good to me, other than really their pitching. And then you throw Manoah on the mound, who's been their best pitcher all season long.
Oh yeah.
I think Jays money line minus 145 at DraftKings is a good play. I'm pretty happy with that number.
Anytime Manoah is pitching, I always toss money on the Jays. Like, it's just automatic. Like, the odds of winning that are so high. Like, I think he's got like one loss this year, maybe, if that.
Yeah.
Or he might be perfect. I don't even know. Yeah,
and he's got a 2.0 ERA. It's ridiculous.
It's psycho.
8-2 record against Hauser, who's 4-7. So I mean, there you go, right there. You got to look at the Brewer schedule as well as the Jays. The Jays definitely. I mean, man, to drop 9 runs on the White Sox to, you know, come out on a positive in that series. And you know, it was a tough series in Chi-Town. It was tough. Yeah. But they are putting up runs, and you know, I definitely like that. The Jays are we're gonna be talking a lot about the Jays in the coming months. So definitely do like that play. So again, Blue Jays money line minus 145 available on DraftKings, and those are the best odds in the market. Do you often play the run line, or do you generally stick money line?
No, I'll play the run line. It kind of just depends where it's at right now. Like, I'm looking around, I'm seeing it at what, like 114 on Pinnacle, and that's best line in market. And at the 114 to win by 2 or more, I'm not really sure. I think I would have to see the odds go up a little bit more, which tomorrow morning or by the time this comes out, it might be at. There will be some movement, so I wouldn't be surprised if it moves in that direction. And then at that point, I would consider it. But I definitely do like run lines. They're also just fun because at that point, like end of the game, maybe you're sweating out a one-run game and team gets a guy or two guys on base and looking for something like that. Just a little extra excitement in it.
Oh man, no, that was just like the Jays game Wednesday afternoon when they were up, they were up like 9-0, and then it was 9-2, then 9-4, 9-5. And then I find the Jays at minus 2.5. That's the run line at that point. And I'm like, the odds were at like minus 108, I believe, on Bet99. And I'm like, I'm taking this. I'm sorry. Like Adam Simber kind of stunk it up, and then they had Thornton come in and just shut it right down. And then so I'm like, now I got a four run. I got a 4-run lead, and my odds are at -2.5. Like that is a very nice live play. So yeah, that's what I do like to play the run line, but it is tough because you look sometimes you'll see some sportsbook that have the Jays at +1.5 for the Friday game, but the odds are horrible. But then you know, other sportsbooks will have them at -1.5. Run line can be tough to play. That's why I do think that you know, the money line here is probably the best play at -145 on DraftKings. Thanks for those, Zach. We actually have our baseball pick here as well. This one's coming from our boy Mick, and he's all juiced up over. He likes the Astros. He really does. And I mean, I don't blame him because they play fucking good baseball. And then it's the fucking Yankees, and this is going to be one hell of a series. Break it down for us, because we got. You were saying something crazy, like they're seeing a lot of each other in the next 10 days.
Yeah, no, I it's a little bit on emotion too because I'm a Verlander guy, being a Detroit Tiger.
Yeah.
Born and raised.
Yeah, yeah.
But I like Verlander coming in there on a Friday night. I think they got two series coming up in the next 10 days, and that's all they'll see each other until probably the ALCS.
Mm-hmm.
Verlander going against Severino. I know the Yankees have been mashing, but I think that Verlander, with his experience, he's pitched a lot of big games there, kind of going to bring out the competitive juices in both these teams, knowing that they'll be seeing each other in probably September or October. Both pitchers have been going good. I like Verlander going deeper into the game. Money line, you're getting a plus value there at +105 at bet99. I got to take the Astros there. Money line with Verlander on the hill. Probably questionable though for a lot of people with the Yankees at home on a Friday night. I just think that going toe to toe, the more experienced stud pitcher, and the
Verlander's
Astros,
been really good.
Oh fuck yeah!
Like really always good.
Put him in on a Friday night at Yankee Stadium. I like him. I like him going deep, and I like him keeping it to 7 innings, fucking 2 earned runs. They're gonna win 5-2.
Very specific. I like it.
I love it. Yeah, no. And like you said, he's no stranger to that big atmosphere as well, playing at Yankee Stadium, and he's going to come in. He's going to mash. I
think the team's going to feed on him too, because he's going to get on the mound and he's going to mean business, and it's going to be raucous. And it's it's going to have a little early June, but playoff atmosphere to start.
It's going
to
be
nice. It'll be the first series that you see, I think, this year where you start to envision playoff baseball, which will be a treat to watch. That's another reason I bet the pick a team and bet it, just because if you're going to watch a little baseball, at least catch the first 4 innings before the hockey game. It's that's the game to watch.
I mean, yeah, I've been loving Yordan Alvarez, and obviously Jose Altuve being an all-star that he is. I like watching the Astros. I gotta say, I know they're pieces of shit, but I like betting them. I do. And I mean, I can't stand the Yankees either. So maybe that pays off a little bit of emotion as well too. Yeah.
Don't forget the Astros mashed on the Yankees in those series that they were caught cheating at Yankee Stadium. So they actually couldn't be cheating, but they still took care of business. So I'm coming to my
cheating Astros. Or not, they're a pretty good club. We'll just say that.
Yeah. Fun game to bet too. If you want a little action with that in the Avs or the Lightning,
yeah,
that's a nice little action on Friday night. A
little fruit and yogurt parfait with the cheater pumpkin eaters. Zach, any thoughts on that game at all?
Yeah, I like the Astros as well, especially with Verlander on the mound. I actually had the Astros tonight against the Yankees. They're up 6-3 in the top of the eighth. So I just was checking on the bet stamp apps at the score. Pardon?
I think they had Valdez going tonight. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. But then the other thing too that I've been looking at is, and you mentioned watch the first 4 innings, then flip over to the hockey game. Betting first fives has been pretty good as well, especially if you can key in on some pitching matchups. If you find an opportunity where a pitcher maybe like tomorrow night with the Jays, Manoah goes in there, their starting pitcher for Milwaukee is not as strong. Pick off a starting five if you can get some good numbers on that.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's something we definitely need to exercise a little bit more.
Yeah.
Sweet. Well, we're gonna lock it in here. And it's been a couple of weeks, but we're back, baby. Here it is. Ding, ding, ding. Our pick and roll. brought to you by obviously DB2Bets and BetStamp. And we're using the BetStamp app and we're finding those best odds that are available across all the different sports books. It's what we do week in, week out. And for the pick and roll, starting off with game five of the Stanley Cup Finals, we're going to go with the Bolts money line plus 160 at bet365 as per our boy Zach Phillips. We're also going to touch the Jays money line minus 145 DraftKings Alec Manoa going into Milwaukee, should be a treat. And then we're also going to take the Astros money line plus 105 at bet99 as Verlander goes into Yankee Stadium up against the 4-1 Severino. And there you have it, our picks for June 24th. Zach, again, thanks so much for jumping on and sharing a lot of great insights. And obviously we're going to have you guys back on. Got to get you and Josh on the same show and start getting more BetStamp crew on this as well, because I love picking your brain, and it's definitely a treat to have you on.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, guys. I really appreciate it. And I had a blast being on here. Hopefully these bets win. I mean, yeah. I'm hoping I'm not giving out some losers here, but.
Especially when we put this up on socials and whatnot. I mean, oh, yeah, BetStamp's own Zach Phillips, and he goes 0-3. we'll win a couple, I'm sure of it. But thank you so much for listening. Make sure you like, share, subscribe. This is available on all the different platforms that you get your podcast on. Again, have yourself a great weekend. Have yourself a fucking fantastic weekend. Have a couple yups. Have a couple beers, a couple cheers. But for Josh Elijah, Mike Fulmer, Zach Phillips, and our boy Birdman, that's DB2Bets for you. Cheers.
DB2Bets is brought to you by BetStamp. Visit betstamp.app/Ontario. Use promo code DB2 to find your favorite sports book. And by Yup Beer, award-winning craft light lager. Visit yupbeer.com to find a store near you.
The Podcast Super Friends is a monthly meeting of five podcast producers.
Hi, I'm Catherine O'Brien from Branch Out Programs in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
I'm John Gay from Jagged Detroit Podcasts.
I'm Matt Kundle from the Sound Off Podcast Network.
I'm David Yes from Pod 617, the Boston Podcast Network.
And I'm Johnny Peterson from Straight Up Podcasts.
Together, they form the Podcast Super Friends, an alliance of podcast masterminds sharing best practices, insights, and discussions to help make you a better podcaster. Follow or subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or at soundoff.network.
I'm Jeff Woods, and I'm shining a light on music and the rock stars who make it.
He just was one of those people. He stood out.
He was a magic guy. He really was a magic guy. We all have force. He had the same amount of force as we all have.
This was before Led Zeppelin. Robert was full on. I mean, he was Led Zeppelin without the band behind him. He had the hair, the jeans, the whole thing, you know. And he was amazing.
The Records and Rockstars podcast, heard around the world and yours to hear wherever you get podcasts. All the episodes from JeffWoodsRadio.com.